Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw. I'm here aboard Sea Cloud Spirit in Nassau, the Bahamas. It's actually the first time this ship has been in Nassau, and we're about ready to embark on a great cruise. And I'm here with Mirel Reyes, who's the President North America for Sea Cloud. And we're going to talk with Mirel about this incredible brand. It's been around for a while, but they're making a real push for the North American market. And we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. And it is really one of the only clipper ships, old-time sailing ships, that you can go on in the U.S. right now and anywhere in the world. So you're going to find out about that and more on Insider Travel Report. Mirel, first of all, I didn't get a chance to congratulate you when you first were named president last year. And your mission really is, what is Sea Cloud today? Because I think a lot of us kind of know something about it. It was owned a lot of German customers. But now you're really making a push. How many ships do you have?
We have three ships currently, the Sea Cloud, which is the original ship.
Which is the classic, but dates from like
1931.
And it's still sailing.
It's still sailing, and Sea Cloud Cruises took it over in 1979,
okay.
And they actually restored it to the original glory. So you still have all the original cabins on board, and you know they added on all the bells and whistles. So that's pretty impressive because there's no other cruise brand out there that has a history like that.
That's amazing. In fact, you're playing a lot on that history later. We're going to talk to some people. We have a guy on board who's an expert in that, Marjorie Merriweather Post.
There you go.
Right? and the Flaglers and all this kind of thing. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But so then you have that ship. You have Sea Cloud 2, I think?
We have Sea Cloud 2 built in 2001. Okay. It's a little bit bigger than the Sea Cloud. The Sea Cloud holds 64 passengers. The Sea Cloud 2, 94. Okay. And then the ship we're on right now is like our newest and largest vessel built in 2021, Sea Cloud Spirit.
And how many passengers?
136.
Oh, that's huge.
For us, it's huge.
And it really is. It's a multiple masted ship. How many masts do we have here?
We have three on this one, three right on the Sea Cloud, and four on the original Sea Cloud.
Wow, it's amazing. And you can watch them do, unfurl the sails and do all kinds of things like that. So now you were named President North America last year. What was your mission? What was the thing you were told what they want you to do?
Yeah. So as you mentioned prior, this brand has been around for a very long time, right? But it's been focused primarily on Germany when it comes to FIT and group business. There has been some charter business from the U.S., but I was brought in especially to grow the business, the FIT market, the group business with our travel advisors in the U.S.
So you were really focused. It had been a German product. It was actually a product I always wanted to be on, whether it was German or not, because it was the ships were so beautiful,
right.
and it really is. It was the classic way to cruise, as far as I was concerned. Now, what is kind of the big news for Sea Cloud this year and for the future?
So I think the biggest news, obviously, is last year opening an office, you know, in the Americas, like out of Fort Lauderdale, you know, where a lot of, you know, cruise lines and where just the business is where you're supposed to be. Hiring Kevin Smith as VP right of sales, you know, taking
a lot
on
of us know his father. So.
Yeah. For sure.
I know Kevin as well, but his father was a good friend of mine. Is a good friend of mine.
Yeah, no, for sure. So bringing Kevin into the mix and then, you know, opening the office, starting with reservations and all this and just growing the market, you know, getting our brand visibility out there, educating the travel advisors, you know, and going from there.
Are you going to be joining a lot, if you're not already, joining a lot of consortia, are you going to be doing that?
That's the plan. Okay. That's what we're working on because this is not a product. We don't want to go direct. I mean, we rely on our travel advisors. We want to be affiliated with the consortia. That's where we're going to spend our money, and that's, you know,
well,
we're headed.
You sure, and of course, because it's a niche product, a really specialty product, and it is. Let's be clear right now. One of the things about this line, it is luxury. I got to tell you.
It is luxury. I mean, I was blown away when I stepped on the ship, because it's not really what you expect when you think sailing yacht, right? So when you look at the cabins, when you look at, you know, the programs we bring on, you know, special evenings in the Guggenheim Museum, Michelin-starred chefs, it's just like the whole lineup. It is a luxury product, aside from the fact being a true sailing vessel hoisted still by our crew.
Well, that's a huge differentiation.
Yes.
But, you know, we're going to talk about differentiation. So it's a sailing vessel. It's luxury. It's got fine cuisine, fine dining on board. So those are kind of your main points of differentiation, right?
Yes, correct. Okay. And again, there's on this ship, you cannot just press a button and the sails go up.
No.
It's like no.
So what am I going to have to hoist the sails?
You have to. We're going to send you up the mast, right? Together with the deck crew.
We'll never get out of the harbor that
it's,
way.
It's 44,000 square feet, so you have a little bit to do. You might make it to dinner or not. We'll see.
And it was like 4 years before the mast, right? That's going to be the real, truly. That was kind of my vision. That's why I wanted to come on, believe it or not. There you go. I don't know how. We'll have to figure out if I'm still good with heights, but
we'll see.
Well, it is. You get to see this incredible sailing ship. I can't wait because we haven't left the harbor yet. So that's authentic. And you said no buttons. Now the focus really is, and most of the industry these days is really on creating a sustainable cruise industry. But you already are, really.
I said it earlier, you know, it can't get more greener than that, because it's the moment you shut off the engines, the sails go up, and this vessel just moves with the power of the wind, that's it. Yeah. And we're doing many other things. You know, I don't know if you have seen your, you know, bottles of water in the cabin.
I did see that. Just,
yeah. So we're trying really to stay away from plastic. We're even trying to get away from paper. You know, cruise lines, traditionally, you have the onboard program on your bed, so we kind of moving towards.
I'm trying. I gotta tell. I'm still a little bit as a journalist. I gotta collect programs.
I'm the same way. I love brochures. So, but we're trying. We're trying to make sense, and it's just a perfect product.
It really is. And of course, you have this incredible history that, you know, we're talking about it. I think you're doing a new partnership with the Hillwood Museum in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
It's all this history of Margie Meriwether Post, the Flaglers, all that. And we actually have a lecturer on board who's going to be talking about that, right?
Yeah, correct. That's Les Stanley Ford. He's on board for this cruise, and he will be actually coming back next year and talk about exactly that. And the Hillwood Museum will start their exhibition next year. I believe it is in February. Mm-hmm. We went there already and took a sneak peek, and it was so impressive. And this is just what makes this so special and so different. It's an emotional product, right? And then it has all the history and all that. So
no, that's absolutely, and I love the fact that you have the history. Now, we started talking a little bit about the cuisine, but what is the cuisine on board? We had a lovely lunch just now, but you have great cuisine, but you also have a lot of plans of having special guest chefs come on board as well.
Yeah, correct. So that's what we're doing right now. So, you know, obviously we just started, so we're trying to bring guest chefs on board, Michelin chefs, and we're trying to bring chefs on board that mean something. So we're going to sail out of San Juan in 2025. So what we're trying to do is actually bring chefs from that area on board and like immerse deeper into the destination, and then also have that on your plate.
And then I actually interviewed one of the chefs you're going to have board in the fall, Michael Calentes, who is absolutely marvelous. I was finally able to try his omakase experience up in, of all places, near Orlando, which I was like, he actually comes from Orlando, and it is amazing. So I think you're going to have a great product when he gets on board and has a chance to experiment and have some fun with the food.
Absolutely. We're super, super excited to have him on board. I mean, he's just awesome. So you have something on top. I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, you're gonna.
I'm jealous.
It is wonderful. But then you have other ones. I think is a chef, Cindy Hudson, I think is coming.
Yeah, she was on board. Okay. She just finished her sailing in Costa Rica, and it was just, I saw the pictures of the plates, and they put it on Instagram, and it's to die for.
And then of course, sustainability again, talking about food, is a lot of the food is sourced locally, right?
Yeah. So we do actually something that is really fun. So they throw out the fishing rods, at the end, like, and fish.
So you're telling you're telling me I got to hoist the sails and then catch my own dinner, right?
Yeah, if you want to eat.
If I want to eat. There seems to be a lot of preconditions here on sailing here. This is a different kind of luxury, experiential, right?
I know, but you know, this is what makes it so special.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Well, seriously, you don't have to do that. Believe me, they'll get it for you.
No, you don't have to do it. But, I mean, the fish can't get fresher than that, right? No. And imagine that, they pull it up and then, you know, put it right in front. It's just, it's special.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about where you sail, because it's funny, because I was just at a resort in Canawan Island, and I looked in the distance, I said, I think that's Sea Cloud Spirit. And it was.
Yeah.
You were down there in the St. Vincent and Grenadines, and now you're up here exploring different parts of the Bahamas. We had the tourism minister on board just a few hours ago, and he mentioned that, you know, this is, whereas we're staring at a giant ship across the way, which is a wonderful ship, Celebrity, that's not going to the Exumas, and it's not going to Eleuthera, right?
No, it's not. And I think you hit it on the head. Like, the special thing about this vessel, obviously we're small, right? I mean, really, really small. So it allows us to go deeper into our destinations and also go to those tiny little ports where usually only yachts go. Yeah. And we are most of the time the biggest ship in port, right? Not like right now. Right now we're the smallest ship in port. But that's what we do. And we're in the Caribbean during the winter season with the three ships in different areas. So we did actually, before this, we did Costa Rica with this vessel.
Yeah, I saw that. My friend Gene, you know, who's for the points guy,
yes,
he wrote a nice story about his experience there. And it really got me going. Now I got to write an equal story to do about that. But it is, you do go, and you kind of are constantly moving, right?
Yes, we are. So what is very different about Sea Cloud Cruises compared to other cruise lines, we do not really do 7-night rotations. So we have itineraries all the way from 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 nights. And when I started, I was like, that's different. That's going to be hard to sell, just from a sales perspective. Yeah. But then looking into it and all those different kind of itineraries we have, all those neat places. So everyone I talk to and the guests that are actually calling us to book, that's why they call.
Yeah.
Because we do things others don't do. And we go to places others can't go.
Yeah, and in fact, I was looking at the list. I mean, you're everywhere. I mean, you're obviously, you were BVI and Zoos van Dijk cruising down here. You're going to be in Greece, obviously. Malta to Athens. You're going to be Syracuse in Sicily. Greece again. Syros, all the Ios islands that we know.
Yeah.
And then you're going to the Canaries. And this is kind of amazing. It keeps rotating around, right?
It does. And the Azores. You forgot the Azores.
I forgot the Azores. I should go from A to C. Then we like this. So the Azores as well. And so what are kind of the things when you're on a cruise like this, let's say in the Caribbean, what are the kind of things that people will be doing in the Caribbean, let's say?
So in the Caribbean, obviously, you know, it's perfect wind conditions. So we always have like a day or two where it's pure sailing. And, you know, there's certain ports like Dominica, for instance, where the ship meet. And when the ship meet, they race. And then
you can race with your other ship. So the Sea Cloud 2 could be racing this one, vice versa.
Yes. I mean, this lady will probably be slower because she's just a bigger ship, right?
She has more sails. We're going to work that one out.
Actually,
I want to win, you know. I don't want to just...
Actually, the Sea Cloud has more, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, all right. I was close. What did we say? This one has 44,000 square feet of sails.
But. Yeah. But the Sea Cloud is four-masted, and it's still like the really traditional sailing ship, and it's a little slimmer, you know. So I would bet on the Sea Cloud.
Okay. I'll have to keep that point next time if I'm going to bet on this race. But it sounds just amazing that you'd be able to race against another Sea Cloud ship.
Yeah. And then we do shore excursions. And again, we try to do it in a little different way. You know, it's booked on board, but it's always going to be something special and a little bit away from the beaten path.
Absolutely. Now, can you point to any really new itineraries? I think it was mentioned like Puerto Rico is really new and interesting in a different way, because everybody thinks, oh, I know Puerto Rico, but you've got a different way to do it, right?
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, San Juan is going to be our highlight, you know, especially for our market. So we were praying for something that the ship comes a little bit closer to us. And again, so we will always throw in like some of the famous ports, because at the end of the day, everyone who goes on a cruise like wants to recognize one name, like, oh, yeah, I know that. So if we would just do those tiny little places, it's hard to attract people. But at the end of the day, those are the places they remember.
Sure.
And passengers will say, oh, you should only go to those places. But it works both ways. So it will always be a mix, yeah. You know, of and especially if you look at our Greek itinerary, for instance, okay. There's like Patmos, there's, you know, Hydra, there's Spetses, there's, and most of you probably never heard about it,
just,
right?
It's not just Santorini and Mykonos, right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
It. Which is, you know, there are only 300 Greek isles, so you should be able to find a few that people haven't visited. Some of my favorite ones are like Milos and things like that are off the beaten path. Now, I'm trying to think of what else. So we have that one. Now, what should our travel advisor readers know about Sea Cloud today? Why is it a viable luxury alternative to other upscale lines?
Well, first of all, you know, people try to, ever since COVID happened, let's put it this way, people are more interested into smaller ships and, you know, and cruising in a different kind of way. So we're kind of a mixed product because we attract, you know, customers that love cruising, but they're not so much into the big ships. But we also attract passengers that are like, I'm not really a cruiser, but, you know, I'm like adventurous and, you know, I like to explore places. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something, you know, that is like that speaks to us. And then, of course, the sailing aspect. So anyone who knows like boaters, sailors, outdoor people, you know, it's just a natural fit. You know, because if ever you have been up on deck and you have all those billowing sails on, it's just nothing else is like that.
I can't wait because we're sitting in port now and just thinking in a few days we're going to be doing that. Maybe in 2 days we'll be out there. Yes. Now, is there anything else? Where can travel advisors go to learn more about Sea Cloud?
So we have our website, obviously, seacloud.com. And we actually have a brochure now. For the Americas, in English, and we're working on the one for 2025 because we just started last year, so we had to do a lot of things like getting the collateral ready for the Americas, so we're working on that, you know, speeding it up. But right now, it's the website, we have collateral material, we have brochures, and then we have Kevin, our VP of sales.
Kevin Smith.
Who would be happy to do webinars and educational, because that's what it is. It's like, everyone kind of heard about it, but it's like I can't really put my finger on it. And it needs a lot of, you know, education, visibility from our end. And he will be happy to do webinars.
Absolutely. Well, Mirelle, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us. I know you're going to have to get off the ship. But then tomorrow we start out our cruise of Eleuthera and Exumas. And I can't wait because I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. I've done a lot of cruising over the years, some of those ships over there. But this is going to be a very different and really something I've been really wanting to do for a long time.
Thank you so much for coming on board. And thank you for having me.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.